Blog Talk Radio.
ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure, each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, be there to kill the tears.
Well, welcome everybody to Unmask with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalunda. But before I get started, I want to tell everybody right now, this is not a show for kids. Get your kids out the room because we're going to be using some choice words and we're going to be talking about the dirty. You know, we're going to get down and dirty. Triple X, man. We're going to bring to you this brother who's going to show you how to masturbate while just talking to you. But you know something, for all y'all Christian people who trying to judge me, okay, you hang up the phone. You ain't got to listen in. You know, no disrespect, but I don't sit there and censorship my guests, and everybody got a voice and everybody got a story. So your story might be you don't want to prove this, well, hang up the phone. Get off your iPad. Get off your computer, because it is what it is. The show will go on, because that's how we do it up here on Mass. But before I get started, I want to give a special shout-out to some people, some friends of mine that I just met today and just fell in love with these brothers. One guy named was Anthony, and the other guy named was Robert. Now, you know, they was doing some work in my house, you know, and you know how they say these guys, when they bent over doing work, going to always see the crack. Well, I didn't see no crack, but I saw a whole lot of back, and I saw a whole lot of hardwood, because, baby, it wasn't sticking up. They was laying down hardwood floors. So get your mind back. Pull it back, because I know what you was thinking. But if I had saw that, too, that would have been nothing. You know, I would have looked at it and kept it moving. But, man, Shalunda, I'm going to welcome my special guest, Alan Roger Carey. Now, this brother, okay, he can do a lot of things. Well, he can just talk to you and make you wet and make your voice get all crazy. So, you know, this is going to be a show that's out there. You know, say what you will. It is what it is. We are adults up in here. And if you want to act childish, then hang up the phone. Get off the computer, like I said, because I ain't got no time for all that. And without further ado, I want to welcome my special guest, Alan. How you doing, baby?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Thank you for having me.
Oh, see how he sound? That shit sound sexy right there. I just got on fire. You hear how that sound? Ooh, it was so hard talking to this brother before we had this interview because, ooh, you hear that? You see what I'm talking about? But okay, you know, I'm just going to calm down a little bit because I see my co-host, Shalunda, she got something to say already. But Shalunda, ask your question, darling.
Okay, I want to know how you're going to talk to me and get me off that quick, because I'm not easy.
Ooh, that's a challenge. Ooh, do what you do, Alan.
Hey, you need delicious on this phone, boy. Woo.
You know, I don't have any magic tricks. What I simply do when I talk to women is I talk to them in such a way that I like to provoke them to visualize. Either something I'm doing to them or with them, or if I'm not a good enough reference point, if I haven't met them, I'll even have them conjure up memories of great fucking with a past lover.
Mate.
You know, who they have fond memories of. You know, the memory of a past lover putting his tongue all on that pussy and sucking that clit into their mouth and licking the tongue in the counter and then
he just falling all out the box already.
Oh, I have no shame in my game. I mean,
I know that's right. Do what you do. I don't have no shame in it either.
Matter of fact, I wish truthfully that we lived in a world and in a society where authorists wouldn't have to do all those disclaimers and, you know, warnings. I mean,
exactly.
If I have one thing that kind of gets me riled up about the way society is, it's just these prudish people out here, and over half of these so-called prudish types, no, they be getting freaky-deaky behind closed doors, too.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, man. So, but yeah, one of my common traits that women have said about me for years, they said, Alan, you talk about fucking the way most people talk about grocery shopping.
Mm-mm.
You just have no hesitation. And,
but give me
natural.
Your grocery list right now. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I like to talk about fucking and sucking and licking and kissing and anything that makes a woman just want to put her finger and start playing with her pussy. Slide one or more fingers in and out of pussy.
So let me ask you this. When did you get into the field of being, well, not even the field, just in the mindset of being just sexual, openly sexual?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Because I didn't, it's not like, you know, when I was young, I had, you know, my, like, goal list or ambitions list. It started in college when a lot of women, started with women, they would complain to me about men lying to them and misleading them and playing games with them. You know, like, for example, women would say, Alan, how come there's so many guys that will make you think that they want, like, this long-term boyfriend-girlfriend relationship with you, but then after you give them pussy X number of days or for a couple of weeks, all of a sudden you don't hear from them again? And I said, oh, that's because they just really wanted casual sex. They didn't want relationship sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, well, why don't they just say that?
Right.
And I heard that echo to just dozens of times. We would say, well, why don't they just say that? So I kind of said to myself, you know what? I'm going to just start saying that shit. And my frat brothers and close friends thought I was crazy. They was like, man, you can't just go up to a woman and tell her you just want to fuck her casually. Get out of here, dude. You're going to get cursed out, slapped, whatever, man. You can't get away with that shit. And luckily I was hard-headed. So, yeah, I start going to parties, and I would go up to them and I say, what you doing for the rest of the weekend? Mm. Oh, I don't know. Why you ask? I said, because I want to fuck this shit
out of you. I know that's right. Oh, love you.
I just slide my hard dick all in your pussy and just,
man,
fuck you.
Man, I can dig it.
And what would be the usual reaction for maybe the first 5 minutes? Women would give me a bunch of shit. I can't believe you talking to me that way. I'm a respectable lady. And blah, 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 blah. And I would just stand there and look like real cool, calm, because I'm like, ain't nothing you saying affecting me.
Right.
And so once, you can say my secret weapon was, and I tell my clients this, I say, once you say something provocative or straightforward to a woman, you never, ever, ever want to back down from it or apologize for it. Because then that's when women look at you as wimpy. They look at you as not having any backbone. But when you stand your ground, when you give women that look like, yeah, I said it, and then they, interesting enough, they would soften up. Once they saw I wasn't going, you know, back down, they would be like, you're so nasty. Here's my number.
But you know something, I'm going to break in right there. You know, Quasar's kept, I'm going to be honest about me. Now, a lot of times, you know, all of us women, we like to say we want a good man, and we really do want a good man, but we want a man strong enough to talk like that, raw and uncut.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I've had guys try to hit on me before, and, you know, this one guy, he was persistent, and that didn't get me until one time I knocked on his door. And he opened the door butt naked. And for some reason, boom, it took me to a whole new place. And I was turned on because I was like, wow. So, you know, women like that because they like to have a guy act like he's taking control of that thing. You know what I'm saying? Because when they get in the bed, they don't want nobody acting like he don't know what to do with it. He wants somebody to act like they got some kind of control and they can handle that ride. Because when you're messing
with
you got a ride coming.
Like, they want a man who... Go ahead.
You couldn't come to me with no number like that, because I'd have put caught, and thank God you wouldn't have backed down from it, because then I'd have been mad and put you on blast. But I'd put a caught in the heartbeat. Sound like a plan to me. Ain't no better time than the present. I ain't got nothing to do and nowhere to be. It is
no,
on the platform.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know?
But
that's the way I was, Alan, when I was young.
I'm sorry. Well, go ahead, Shalonda.
No, I was saying that's the way I was when I was young, in my 20s and everything, because
mm-hmm.
I didn't have no children. I had my first career was off the ground. I was just doing me. And as long as I was protected, I was good. You know?
Well, Alan, you got a person on this line right now that want to talk to you, and their last digits is 4972. Is that you, Lucky?
It is me.
Oh my.
Let me just say, I stepped in on and popping, and I wouldn't have no nothing. I mean, what are we talking about? What are we
let
talking about? That sounds like my game.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Yeah, this guy, he's ready for you, girlfriend.
He said that he was one of those guys back in college that he felt like girls were saying that men wasn't straight up with them. So he felt that he could be straight up enough with a woman to walk up to her and say, excuse me, what you doing this weekend? If they say nothing, why? He said, because I just want to fuck the shit out of you. I just want to put this dick in you and fuck the shit out of you. Exactly.
Are we related?
So I told him, I would have responded with, it sounds like a plan. Ain't no better time than the present, and I ain't got nowhere to be.
Alan, we taking all your
that's like one of my lines.
Right.
From back in the day. You know, I had no problem walking up to a man and say, excuse me, you look like you taste good. Can I taste you?
Right.
I mean, I like that too, Lucky.
I like Lucky's style.
No, that was the old Lucky Boo Boo. Catch your breath.
That's how he sounds. Look, let him talk. This is how his brother sounds. He's talking like he's breathing.
Let me tell y'all what that is. That is a facade. That is called the art of seduction. And what he's doing right now is trying to mesmerize all the women that he thinks are listening or all the women that are listening into believing that he is so smooth and so soft that he can just
This is my first disagreement.
With
Lucky
man.
Said. Lucky, if you were to read my books or know anything about me, I put on no facades. I'm as real as they get.
You know what? Let me bust your bubble and pull your cut card real quick. You don't sound right now like you did a minute and a half ago.
What?
I'm just saying. When you said, that was a different voice than that is.
I mean,
now.
Do we all sound alike every single second when we talk?
Absolutely
but
not.
I'm
when we seduce some people, we sound a certain way.
I just say this. Any woman who knows me knows I sound the same way, like 95% to 99% of the time. I don't,
couldn't have been with me because I'd have made you sound different, Blue.
So,
sounds like a challenge.
I'd have had to pull out your high pitch on you. But again, that was back in the day. That's not the new me. That's who I used to be.
You would say that's who you used to be.
That's who I used to be.
And Alan, she said she's gonna make you sing soprano.
I didn't say soprano. I just said high pitch.
So
high pitch.
Falsetto.
Right, there it is.
Hey, Alan, I got a question though. So when you did start doing this, did like your frat brothers start falling in line with what she was doing? You know how they'll jump on the bandwagon because they're like, wait a minute, Allie getting all the women. You know, did anybody fall in line?
That's how it ultimately led to me turning into a book is what happened. Yeah, I start kind of, you could say, being a talk of the campus. Different friends and frat brothers, when they talk about me to people, they say, man, do y'all know Alan? Man, that motherfucker, he's straight up to the motherfucker. I mean, he'll talk about sliding his dick in a woman's mouth in the first 2 or 3 minutes of the conversation.
Well.
And people was like, damn, really?
Wait a minute, are you sure we're not related?
So my brother, who was at another campus, he transferred to that campus, and he started hearing it. And see, now this is my older brother. So you would think if anybody saw that side of him, but he had never seen that side of me. I mean, he knew I had my certain smoothness with women, but he had never witnessed me being just really, really just straight up. So he was tripping. He was like, you know, what's this I keep hearing from your boys that you, like, just really, like, unapologetically straightforward with women? I said, yeah, that's how I am. I just don't give a fuck. And the moment he saw me in action was, of all things, we were coming from a party, and we went to this 24-hour grocery store in Bloomington, Indiana. It was about 1:30, 2 in the morning. And I met this woman who was in the shampoo aisle. And I started talking shit to her, and 10 minutes later, she was sucking my dick in the grocery store.
I know that's right. Ain't no better time like
Are you sure we're not related?
Right. It seems like he's been in our
sucking
life or
my
something.
Dick in the grocery store.
Right.
Well, that's I should say that's where she started.
You ain't never been to Kentucky Fried Chicken, right?
No. Don't see the one was the Burger King bathroom.
Oh, Burger King.
Don't forget Burger King. No, but I mean, like seriously, you've been copying my story or something.
So you say you're a female version of me, huh?
No, you're the male version of me, boo. Don't get it twisted.
Ain't that something?
Don't get it twisted.
But yeah, that was the night, and my followers, the reason why they know that story, because I always tell, because that was the night when my brother became a believer. And he was actually the first one who suggested I put it down on peace. Like, bro, if you get results like this, you need to put this on paper, man. At the time, I was like, man, get out of here. I ain't putting this on. He said, no, seriously, dude, I think you could help out some guys, you know, encourage them to have bigger balls when dealing with women, man, because he said that's
right.
Just some impressive shit.
All you got to do
so
is keep it 100.
I blew him off for a few years, and then finally, around the mid-90s, at this time now I was living in L.A., and he was in San Diego. And he said, man, I've been sharing some of your stories, man, with these guys who work for me, man. They're going crazy, man. You got to put together some kind of pamphlet, man. They want to see this shit in print. So that's when I finally said, okay.
So I put
this 30-page pamphlet together. I called it the Mode 1 Principles of Verbal Communication. And I sent it to him, and these guys stopped. You know, basically improving their interactions with women. So that's when I became a believer in my ability to teach other men. I was like, okay, so other men can learn from me. And sure enough, I turned it into an ebook and then finally a paperback. And now, like, my books have been read by men in, like, 40 different countries. And I've spoken in London and Berlin, as well as number of cities here in the U.S., and I do consultations with guys, you know, on a weekly basis. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I do, but if I was summing it up in a nutshell, I basically just tell guys, my message to guys is, you don't have to lie to women to get them in bed. You don't have to play manipulative head games to get women in bed. Just have the balls and straight up tell them that if you want to fuck, tell them you want to fuck.
Right.
Like I was working with
like
a client today.
So you like that dude, the Will Smith in that movie?
Yeah. You know, now it's funny you say that. I get this all the time. When that movie came out, I cannot tell you how many of my friends was like, "Damn, Alan, you already doing this shit." Because I was basically Hitch before I even heard of the movie Hitch.
Right.
And so yeah, a lot of people was tripping when that movie came out. And but yeah, I had a guy today, for example. He asked me, I was doing a consultation session. He said, "Alan, there's these two women I want to have a threesome with. How do I go about telling them?" I said, "How do you go about turning on your faucet?" He said, "I just turn it on."
All
said,
right.
"There you go." I said, "You just tell them. Ain't no magic tricks. You tell them. You say, hey, I'm attracted to both of y'all."
On that note, we need to take a small break. And anybody who want to talk to Alan, call in 347-945-6003. Hit the 1 key. We'll let us know you have a question, because this brother is going to share how to get what you want in the bedroom. And from what I'm hearing, he just says be bold with it and go for what you know. But we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Girl, you know I love you. No matter what you do, and I hope you understand me. Every word I say is true, 'cause I love you. version of you, trying to be more of a man for you. And I don't have much of a chance, but we gonna see it through. 'Cause I love you. Oh, oh. Things got so bad until I had to go to one of my friends and talk to him. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm having problems with the woman that I love. It seems that I call her on the phone and I just can't get her to answer. And then I went to her house and I saw a car parked in the driveway. I knocked on the door, but still my knocks went unanswered. And then I went home and I watched television until television went off. And then I played my records until I just didn't want to hear them anymore. And finally I went to bed, but I found myself waking up a few hours later. And the tears were running down my face. And my friend told me, he said, Lenny, you just ought to forget about her. But I told my friend, I said, you know, maybe you've never been in love like I've been in love. And maybe you've never felt the things that I felt. But this is what I told my friend, I said, you know, sometimes you get lonely, you get lonely, you get lonely, uh-oh, and I cry, oh, and the tears would fill up in the wells of my eyes, oh baby. And then it got so bad, it got so bad, to one time I thought I'd roll myself up in a big old ball and die. And then I met you, darling, and you smiled at me. Oh, oh, it was such a pretty smile, yes it was. And you reached out your hand, You help me. Oh, I'm glad, baby. Oh, baby.
won't ever leave you, baby. I won't ever grieve you, baby. I'm gonna love you. Oh, 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 baby. I'm glad. I'm glad, baby.
Unmask with authors Terry E. Lyle and Shalunda, and I took you a little bit back into time with that song by Lenny Williams, 'Cause I Love You. And tonight I want to thank everybody who's tuning in on this Friday evening, because you could have been anywhere, but you decided to hang out with us. And to all my listeners, north and south, east and west, and all my global listeners, thank you for tuning in. But tonight we have a show that's X-rated, and we have a special guest on our show, Alan Roger Carey. But like Alan had said earlier, he said it's a shame that we're in a world where there's so much censorship and we got to, you know, make disclaimers before I go on the air. And it's just like when I talk to people and when I come out with my boldness, people think I need to pull it back some because that's who I am. I'm just bold with my stuff. But it's my truth, you know. I just speak truth, and people can't deal with the truth. And like this brother said, he said, you know, he go up to a chick, you know, and these are his words, not mine, because I don't do ladies. Okay, he says, he go up to a chick and say, hey, I'm going to fuck you tonight. And all this and everything, you know. And, you know, she might get a little hesitant at first, but she break down that facade that, you know, she didn't like it. Because all us women, we like that guy who's bold to talk that trash to us. And so now I feel a little bit better about myself. When I go to a guy and I come off the cuff and talk myself, you know, I don't have to feel like, hey, I shouldn't do it. But my main question to Alan is there a border where I should, or a barrier, something I should not cross when the person might not be single and I might just be feeling in a moment, you know, like I be feeling horny and I want somebody to hit that thing. Is there a time when I should not say to somebody that has piqued my interest what I want to do to them, what I want to suck, what I want to nipple on, what I want to chew? I'm just throwing it out there, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think you should ever I'm actually copy from Dave Chappelle a little bit. I saw him interviewed on this show called Inside the Actor's Studio, and they asked him, this is when he had his show, you know, the Dave Chappelle show.
I remember.
And the host, James Lipton, said, you know, a lot of people have criticized your humor for crossing the line and being, you know, somewhat offensive. He said, what do you feel about that? And he said, well, first of all, the people who are offering these criticisms, they're obligated to tell me where that line is. You know, and that's how I feel. You know, you should, and I tell my clients this, you should never assume that, you know, this person has a line right here or a line right there. You just go ahead and push the envelope and you let them tell you, okay, yeah, this is, you know, this is a little bit too much, or this is, and then, you know, you can tame it down unless you see and they trying to just, you know, fuck with you and just make you think they got a line in a certain place, but they really don't. But, because, I mean, I've had that happen a lot. Like, I was talking about threesomes, for example. I've had some women who initially say, I would never do a threesome, no way. And
they
then, like, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, they'd be like, okay, yeah, I do want to experiment with a threesome.
Just for you.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Shalonda?
I said just, and they'll be hollering just for you, just to make you feel
special. Just for you, that's a lie.
Lie.
Everybody who's been in a threesome, raise their hands. Let me get a count off. I know it.
Well, you can't
one.
See my hand, but it's raised.
My shoes. So
I got both my hands up.
Okay, wave them in there, baby, because I've been
there,
done
can,
that.
Lucky you know you can count more than three, right?
No, actually, I can't. Wait a minute. Yeah, I can. I can't even say that. I was getting ready to tell a lie. I was getting ready
You're
to say, no, I can only count three, but yeah, I can. I can count four.
All right, then.
Wait a minute. If you include
you
me, I guess that makes
seven. As I recall it, I think I could have counted about seven for you.
I know. I don't think so. There wasn't, no. Wait a minute. No. Come on now. There was a seven. You know I ain't going to lie on it. There was a seven. Now I can count five.
It had to be higher. The show wasn't lower.
Tony on here, a man who wants to ask a question or give a statement. I'm not going to say what. Tony, go ahead and say what you want to say, darling.
Well, I'm going to basically give a statement because actually I think this is a woman show, really. But my thing.
Give me some pointers so y'all so you can see how y'all can get a post up. I mean, don't say it's about us. I mean, it turns us on. True, but you know, it's about y'all.
I've always been an outspoken individual when it comes to women because I never held back nothing because I figure what you want, you should ask for any fucking way. And if you don't ask, a woman know that you want it. You know what I'm saying? So I
right,
never
right.
had no problem. Look, I ain't never had no problem if I see somebody I like when I could see, and I was looking at them, and they look good to me, because I was a lit man. Man, I was a head hunter. I love head. You know what I'm saying? And I look at them, motherfucker, and I say, damn, baby, I see you got some pretty motherfucker lips. I say, can I see what the lips feel like?
What are you talking about?
Some of them will get offended. But then after a while, you break them up for the veil, man. So I always been outspoken on that shit because I figure if you don't ask, you ain't going to know whether you can get it. If you fuck around and play with it, it can slip past you and you won't get it. But if I see something I want, I jump on that motherfucker like a mongoose on a fucking coat. You know what I'm saying?
Now see, now, I have to disagree with one thing Tony said. I don't see this as a woman's show because I have given counseling on men and women on how to go after and get what you want from whoever you want it from. So I would have to disagree with you that this is a woman's show, but I can dig your confidence, though. I ain't mad at it.
All right. But we want to let Alan talk because this brother, he's going to share some facts. You know, and tell some of your dirty little secrets, Alan, you know.
Yes, tell us,
so you were surprised when you did that and it worked for you that very first time that you was bold enough to approach that chick to say what you want to do to her. Was you surprised that it worked?
No, I wasn't surprised. I knew, and somebody, one of you three women, I can't remember which one, used the phrase, you broke through the facade. And that is actually right on point. That's kind of like one of my mantras is that when I work with male clients, I tell them, I say probably for every seven women that you approach and let them know what your sexual desires, interests, and intentions are that might give you some type of adverse reaction, I say no less than five of those seven women who are giving you an adverse reaction, they just present a facade. They're not genuinely turned off or offended or insulted by what you're saying. It's like that song, if you heard Robin Thicke, he had a song, Blurred Lines, and that's essentially what that song is about. The lyrics of that song, he's basically saying, yeah, I know you're trying to play that good girl role with me, but I know you want it. I know you want it. And that's the attitude I have when I approach women, you know. So negative reactions don't really throw me for a loop, but they do with most of my clients. You know, they're like, man, Alan, I approached this woman and I told her, you know, I wanted to have sex with her. She, like, started going off on me, man. I just, like, ran away. I'm like, why you run away? You can't do now. She was just testy. She was just a little bit frustrated that you saw through her good girl facade. And see, I just give women a certain look. I just look them. Matter of fact, if authors, I don't know if you've seen the cover of Mole 1, my first book, But it's just my eyes. And that's the main reason why my eyes on there. Because I will give women a look that basically says to them, like, save that shit for somebody else.
That's
that facade ain't working with me. I know you
guys. Are you sure we're not related?
I'm starting to think we are now.
Me for Alan, we have another caller on the line, and I want to get everybody through because our switchboard is lit up. And we got Miss 0686 on here. I think that's Gail. Is that you, darling?
It is. Yes, it is me, darling. Hey, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
What's up, Gail?
Good evening.
Well, how you say your name? What's up, Gail? Already you want to take your panties off.
I'm just fine, Alan, darling. But I was listening shortly in, and when you had mentioned that something about talking a woman into having a menage a trois, you know, every woman, you know, has their fantasies, and every woman would do whatever it is they want to do. And then there are the women who really, you know, are not into that. I don't care how much you talk to them, how you say it, why you say it, if you could say it, because I could say that I am one of those women. And simply the reason why I would never participate in a menage a trois, I don't have anything against the actions or anything like that, but the reason why I would never participate in a menage a trois is because I'm selfish with my lover, and I don't believe in sharing my lover. I'm not that type of a person. And that's for the real, you know. I mean, I'm not, you know, down anybody who's ever done it. God bless them. That's good. You know, that's what you do. That's what you do. But I'm just not that type of a person. So, you know, that's one inhibition that I don't think I would ever, I'm not even that interested in it, you know. But hearing stories of how people get in them and different things happen behind them, some good stories, some bad stories, but those types of relationships are geared for people who are built for that, people who that's what they do, that's what they want to do, that's why they do it, you know. But there are women who you can talk until you're blue in the face, and they're not going to do it. And I can honestly say that I am one of those women.
Okay,
and,
hold on,
you know,
Gail. I'm going to let Alan answer this, but I'm just going to say this. I believe, and this is only my belief only, I believe that a lot of people believe that, but I think if you cultivate a person and you keep at them, a person is going to relax. A lot of times people pretend they won't do that because they worry about what somebody else is going to think, or they don't want to own up to their own self that they like it savagely or raw, and they can't believe it because they want to keep some kind of image. But if you cultivate a person long enough, because I know, you know, when I was in California, I used to swing, and we would have different people who had these professional jobs, and on the outside, they looked like they straight-laced and everything, but when the nighttime come and we all get together, do our little thing, they was the freakiest thing on the block. And initially, some people are not into that, but you can cultivate anybody, because when a person starts feeling you and everything and it's lonely or whatever, or the opportunity presents itself, shit will happen, quiet as cap. I'm just saying. But, Alan, I'm going to let you address that.
Okay, let me say this really quick before we get into your answer, Alan.
Okay.
You know, some people can be cultivated into that, you know, that's because that's what they want. But like I said, I don't want that, and I'm selfish, and I'm going to always be selfish when it comes to that. That's just me, you know. And like when other people do that, you know, that's on them. Okay,
so Gail, I don't really understand what your question was, though. I mean, you expressed an opinion that you don't prefer not to engage in threesomes, but I mean, honestly, my answer is so.
I have to agree with,
and not to disrespect you, Gail, but
I know there are
women who I know do not indulge, but I would heavily agree with what Arthur has just said, is that here's what
and, you
I
know,
found
it's not like
experience.
I haven't been approached and, you know, I haven't been asked to participate in menage a trois before, because I have. I've been asked that, you know, numerous of times, and numerous of times I've turned it down.
Did the man have your pussy wet while he was telling you about that they wanted to have a menage a trois?
No doubt. You know, they were saying everything
good.
Say,
Alan, they had my pussy wet.
Huh?
Say, Alan, they had my pussy wet.
Yes, Alan, they had my pussy wet, but you know what?
Say it again.
you are not going to condition me.
I like you. Alan, they have my pussy.
But you know, no, darling. We really have to be in a quiet setting for all this to even penetrate. But, you know, I have been approached, you know, as a matter of fact, a guy had that I was in a relationship at one point, and we was, I mean, he was an excellent lover. The sex was the bomb. It was, I mean, it was just all that. So, you know, one evening, you know, we were just, you know, laying in the bed talking and everything. So then he asked me, and I looked at him and I said, "Really? Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't think you are. You can't be serious." You know, but that, that right there.
Why would
there,
you say that to him?
Because I wasn't feeling that. Because I wasn't feeling that. And that, and for him to say that, you know, the sex was good. You know, he expressed how good it was from me coming to him, and I expressed for coming from him. So why do we need even a third person? Why
so say, Alan, he was fucking me real
like
good.
That? Huh?
Say, Alan, he was fucking me real good.
Yes, Alan, he most definitely was. Yes, he was.
He
real
was what?
Good. He was fucking me good. But I just, I, and that's another reason. I don't feel like I should share something that good with somebody else. No, I'm not.
What
so
about him sharing something, you, how good you are with someone else, rather than a woman?
Sharing me with somebody else?
That second man, yeah.
Oh, no, another man?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, 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 never.
Girl, you
no.
don't know what you're missing.
No, no, no. And the reason being, I could never be, no, I could not do that. Not with another woman, not with another, I just can't do that. Especially,
okay,
like
so,
I said, this
so,
sex.
So, Gail,
thing.
I'm
yes.
just curious, what would motivate you, hearing our discussion, to call in, just to make it emphatic? That's like you calling in to tell us that you don't snort cocaine or you don't smoke weed.
Oh, I have snorted cocaine before. Yes, I have. No, not have I snorted
but
cocaine?
But I'm saying,
no,
why
I
would you call
before.
In to tell us what you don't do and won't do? I mean, I'm not.
No, because
I'm not
you were saying
that.
How, you know, you talk to a woman or whatever, how you can get their panties off and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I heard something about a threesome. Maybe
okay.
I, you know, came in a little late, but whatever.
You did hear about threesomes.
Yeah, I've had quite a few
yeah.
threesomes.
Right. But I'm just, you know, saying, you know, I'm just really basically expressing myself, you know. And like I said, I don't have anything against people when they do whatever it is they want to do, because that's what
but
they do.
But you're a little curious about a threesome, ain't you?
Curious?
Yeah.
No.
I think you are.
Because I've heard so many horror stories behind threesomes. Now, not
I
to say that
you're a little curious, Gail. Because nobody calls in a show just to tell people I didn't do XYZ or I won't do XYZ. And that, I mean, if you're going out of your way to convince us that you never do it, you're really trying to convince yourself.
No, I'm not trying
to
convince you.
You're not trying to convince
me, Arthur.
You're trying to convince yourself that you would never do. But there's this little tiny voice inside your head that's saying, damn, I wouldn't go ahead and do that. Yeah. I would go ahead and share two dicks. I would go ahead and have two women. And you trying to fight that little voice. You said, no, little voice, shut up. Shut up, quit talking to me. But that little voice is saying, yeah, girl, Gail, you know you want two dicks at the same time.
Oh, no.
You want to take turns sucking
never.
One
I'm
dick
tell you, I'm
going
to tell you why I would never, ever have two at the same time, because that to me, that's almost like rape, and I've been raped before. So that is completely out of the question. No, never. That's how it seems to me. You know, and other women who do that, that's what they do. But I would never be with two men. Never.
So you want to be with another woman and a man?
No, no.
So what provoked you to call in and talk to me? What do you want me to know about Gail? Is that what you want me to know about you?
No, I was just calling in because I heard you, you know, you had said that. You know, I came in a little late on, you know, things that was going on as I usually do. But, you know, that's what I heard. But, you know, everything, I'm, you know.
Do you like to play with your pussy, Gail?
I sure do.
Say, Alan, I love to play with my pussy.
He's a mess. You know what? I'm not going to put that out there on the radio like that, okay? Because
hey,
we're
among friends.
I know we're
grown adults
all,
among friends.
You know what? That is true. That is
go ahead and say
it again.
Say, Alan, I'd love to play with my pussy.
Alan, I'm gonna inbox you my phone number. We can have a conversation like
okay.
that, okay?
Oh, I'm going to make you play with that pussy like a motherfucker when I call you.
Man.
I'm going to have you sloppy
not,
wet.
Man, his phone
over
the air,
no.
Yeah, you're going to play with that pussy real
like,
good, girl.
That's just, you know, too
and when I tell you to play with it,
you're going to
say,
like
yes,
that.
Sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, I want to play with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can do the phone thing.
Wait
really
a minute,
good.
Is that the moaner? Is that the moaner? The moaner extension?
That's the moaner. Yes. But I need all of y'all to stand
hey. Let's stop the facade.
No.
I love you, Gail. You know
she's
I love
on
you.
Hold door because Gail says she won't do some things, but I want y'all to hear Gail in action to stand
right.
by. This.
Everybody
going to
be wet.
The down low. When you told me that you were coming over, I was so excited, but I felt guilty as if I were going to faint on the spot. It seems like forever that I've adored you from a distance. My heart smiles every time I see your face. I rush home so fast to prepare for your visit. Hot bubble bath, scented candles, soft red light, complemented by beautiful slow music on the radio. I cut up small pieces of watermelon so I could tantalize and feed her supple lips with the sweet, moist, savory fruit. My dream girl finally arrives. I slide slowly off the bed. That later will tell the story of our hot, passionate, sexual encounter with the intensity of rabbits in heat. As she leaned forward against my bed, I came from behind while my hands began to grope her pussy and squeeze her body. Pulling her closer to me, I pressed into her velvet skin, trying to merge our flesh into one. As she began to remove the scanty articles of clothing. Fully nude, she climbed into my bed as if a lioness on the prowl and lay there in her nakedness. I felt tightness in my chest. I knew I must not fail to satisfy her, not wanting it to be the last time. Caught up in the modest shyness that I so cleverly concealed behind the scented chiffon scarf that covered her eyes, I looked at her nipples, waiting for my mouth to devour them and her pussy to lavish over. As my fingers slide inwards, my tongue licks her wet, moist, dripping pussy as she sighs. Breathing so slow and so deeply, I allow my tongue to search out and caressingly travel around her body, leaving areas to explore later. I feel my own pussy starts to moisten up, and beads of sweat engulf my breast and cascade down my back. I think this is forbidden fruit. While I don't care, I'm in the moment. How much I crave for her to fuck me ever so hard that my pussy screams out into ecstasy as we both are feeling the overwhelming, intense desire to have sex. After prolonged foreplay, I return to the dark cavern where I part her lips and her aroma of body heat drives me into a frenzy. I lick her hot, steaming pussy while her ass starts to gyrate backwards and forwards as I stretch my hand to reach the vibrator lying beside me. The low hum as I turned it on excites me because I know it's getting ready to become hot and heavy as I continue to lap up her pussy juices as if likened unto a cat with a bowl of milk. I purr as my body screams out to be touched, penetrated, and sucked. I want to fuck like this is my last day on earth. I rolled my head sideways and reached up to pinch her nipples that were standing at attention in anticipation of my touch. We decided to switch places because I'm already on fire. She spreads my legs wide and went down with her experienced tongue penetrating my pussy like a penis in frenzy. Oh, I can't contain myself. Reaching out to find something to hold on to as I claw at her arms and hands. She squeezes my hands so firmly. I think this can't be as good as it seems. What the hell kind of lovemaking is this? So passionate, so hot, and so intense. I'm loving every minute of it. And then I realize it's lesbian love. Am I gay? Or should I keep this on the down low? Ooh, yes. Ooh, touch me right there. Oh, that feels so good. Ooh, I'm coming. I'm coming. Oh, that feels so good. Oh, thank you. The down low by authoress Terry E. Lowes. Voiceovers by Gail Delicious Johnson. Copyrighted.
Okay, now I just want to hear Alan and Gail respond to that first. I'm going to shut up.
So, Gail, I know your pussy just soaking wet, ain't it?
No.
Go ahead and say yes, sir.
No, it's not, darling, because I did that a while back.
That was some sexy-ass shit.
I know, that's right. For my Valentine's Day show, I had Lucky, Gail, and Shalonda, and this other guy, Marcus. We said, show us how you sound when you're hitting it really good. Gail won hands down.
No, darling, I am not. I am not hot. You know, it's not anything hard to turn me on, but you know, there's just I have to really condition myself.
So, Gail, say, Alan, please call me later and get my pussy wet.
I'm loving it. Out there like that, darling. I'm going to inbox you my number.
I know that's right.
There are too many people listening to this show, you know. So, no, I'm not going to put that out there like that.
You worried about your niece or your neighbor?
Oh, no, I ain't worried about my niece.
I'm
not worried about anybody. There may be some kids out there listening. You know, and I don't want to them to be saying, oh, Miss Delicious, I learned that from Miss Delicious. No, you didn't, darling.
They call you Delicious?
I
need Alan to come to my bridal shower.
Only for the adults.
Yes. Well, Alan, I'm going to give you a real treat since Gail did that. Lucky was with us on the Valentine's Day show at Shalonda. Ask Lucky first, how did she sound when she was hitting it and
oh,
was feeling
Lord,
real good?
Oh, Lord, I can't do this.
Lucky going first.
Okay, wait a minute. Why y'all want to throw me under the bus first of all?
Right, right.
Because I already did it.
Get hers.
It's just Lucky so sad. Right under the bus.
Well, you know, y'all make things difficult for me. Y'all know I'm used to making the other person moan.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, you said you and Alan related, so it ain't nothing for you. Don't, girl.
Well, I don't recall hearing him moaning.
I want
to hear
that
you what,
too.
You, Alan, I want to hear you moan and give me something to respond to.
Hey,
you
what?
Moan.
Yeah,
start playing with
yeah,
that
like
pussy.
Richard Dimples Field. Yeah,
he was
right.
Moaning.
Lucky, you start playing with that pussy, and trust me, I'll start stroking my cock, and I'll start moaning.
Well, by the
Jesus.
Same token, you start playing with them with that dick, and I'll start stroking some moan for you.
Can we get some Skype going on around
here?
Y'all know I'm a watcher. I'm a real
yeah,
watcher.
Yeah, I'm
going
to right now with this Shalonda. I want to see you.
So, Shalonda, you like to be a voyeur.
I'm a voyeur.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold up.
Oh, yeah.
Hold up. How are you going to do? Wait a minute. I know you didn't just bypass me like you on the highway. No, no, boo-boo. No, no.
You
want
to call me
way.
Boo-boo. Boo-boo, boo-boo. She
yeah,
says, oh, sexy
pooch.
Like, hey, boo-boo. Hey, boo-boo. So, Lucky, why don't you start playing with that pussy?
Why don't you give me a reason?
Ooh,
and think about
boy.
It. See, you so sassy. You just,
You better know.
Right. You just be like, boo-boo, I know you want to lick this pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to play the role like, no, I don't. And you be like, yes,
oh,
you
no.
Do.
Oh, no, see. We're not into playing games. I don't
you
play
say,
games.
You know
I tell you what I want, and you can tell me you're not going to do it if you want to, but I guarantee you I'll make you. I just make you. I'm going to make you want to.
Boy, shut up.
See, you know what's funny about Arthurus, about women like Lucky? You
what,
see
what
how sassy she is right now, but I guarantee you when she's getting fuck real good, she's submissive as hell.
That's what you think.
I know.
You got the wrong one. Not only am I sassy while I'm getting it, I'm going to tell you what I want. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong. I'm going to tell you no, not right there, right here. And then I'm going to ask you, do you want it, Daddy? Do you want it? You like that, Daddy? I'm sassy as fuck.
You tell him your signature move. Share that with him.
Oh, my collarbone.
Yes, he don't know that, Alan, you don't know that Lucky had a guy, he was putting his penis in her mouth, dislocated her jaw, went on down to a collarbone.
No, see, you said it wrong, Terry. You made it sound like he did that. He didn't do
okay,
that.
Okay, well, tell me how it was done.
I take his index finger, and I place it on my collarbone. And then I put his dick in my mouth, and then I let him feel it slide down. I dislocate the left side of my jaw and let him feel his dick slide down past his finger on my collarbone. And I have witnesses.
You slid what in your mouth?
Witnesses! Woo! You're right.
Yeah.
You don't sound submissive to me, Alan.
Lucky, what
Not
did
at
you
all.
Slide in your mouth?
I slid his dick down my throat so he could feel it slide past his finger on my collarbone from the inside. Was that clear enough?
Say it again.
Moan for me. Come on, moan for me. I'll say it again for you if you moan for me. You moan right, I might give you anything you want. You know you want that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking to you, Shalonda.
Oh, I just want to see. You know me. I just want to see.
You have seen.
Out,
that's why I said I got witnesses.
She is messing up.
Shalonda
said,
Alan, I would love to see Lucky sucking your dick.
Who, me?
Shalonda, yeah, I want you to say, Alan, I would love to see Lucky sucking your dick.
Okay, give me 1 second. Let me walk out of this room real quick. I had my headset on, though. He can't hear, but he can hear me talking. Alan, I would love to see Lucky sucking your dick.
Oh.
I'm going to enjoy myself the entire time, and I'm trying to take pictures and videos.
Oh. Go ahead and say, oh.
Who, me?
Yeah. Mm.
It just does something to me to watch somebody just get it.
See, let her see my dick just slide in and out of my mouth.
You playing, yeah, all that good stuff.
And then I prop her up on top of me so we can do 69, and I suck on that pussy and lick on that pussy.
Right.
Have my tongue all in that pussy, tasting them juices.
I know that's right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
He talked too Somebody much.
Give me another ooh, say ooh.
He could not be in Baltimore, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I got to tell you, Maryland, y'all got some straight-up open-minded freaks in Maryland. I read, did you know, seriously, y'all got a claim to fame. Authors mentioned about swinging. Somebody had an article about swingers clubs, and they said that California has the most swinger clubs of any state. But interesting enough, Maryland has the highest number of African American swing clubs.
All right, now.
Yeah.
I was the CEO of my club.
We used to have this place called The Office.
The office.
And it was off the hook because they was taking care of business.
Yeah, I had a woman I used to talk to quite a bit that lived in Maryland. She said she went to at least three of these clubs. And it was interesting. She said, and I've heard this about other swing clubs, she said you had to sign a confidentiality agreement because it would be high-profile businessmen there, local politicians there. Sometimes it would be, like, news anchor people there. I'm like, damn, so everybody was getting their freak on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Top lawyers, judges, everybody be in them places, man. It was serious. But I used to walk through there like a kid in a candy store. I wouldn't do a whole lot of touching, but I did a whole lot of looking.
You did a whole lot of what?
Looking, watching.
Oh, looking. Did you play with your pussy while you were looking?
No, I could actually say I didn't. No, probably when I grabbed one to take home. A little different ball game. But I ain't play amongst the masses like that. Maybe once, twice, three, four times.
Eight,
nine, ten. No, not a lot. I can't say ten. I play Switch, but...
But you can definitely say eight. You can absolutely say eight.
Can I?
Yes, you can. Trust me, you can say eight.
Because back then I was all about my money, so I was just trying to collect my money.
Wow, so let me ask Alan a question since we got a little break right here. Alan, I know on your profile on Facebook it says relationship acts. Does that mean you're in one? And if you're not in one, if you're in one, would your significant other be okay with you doing other women, you know, as long as she's included?
Oh, I've always said, I don't believe, one thing I say in my book, I do not believe in cheating. And I'm not trying to sound self-righteous when I say that or whatever, but I've always been open with women about the fact that, you know, I usually want to participate in polyamorous activities. And I tell women that straight up. So if they're not down with the program, they can let me know that, you know, from the get-go. And if they are with the program, you know, we move forward. But yeah, I don't believe in the whole sneaking behind a woman's back and doing things and betraying people's trust. I want for women to always be able to say, if nothing else they can say about Alan Roger Curry, they say, that dude is the most straightforward motherfucker I've ever interacted with in my life. And right now I'm not in a serious relationship. You know, I got my, you know, play buddies. And, right now I got an interesting situation. I'm training both a mother and a daughter. And if you saw my page where it talks about me being kind of a coach/trainer,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm working with the mother, and she actually wanted me to talk to her daughter. And so, yeah, they both refer to me as sir or daddy, and they absorb a lot of knowledge and wisdom and guidance from me, and I'm helping them both overcome a lot of inhibitions and different issues they might have, and it's real cool.
Wow.
Are you all familiar with the term bull? You know what a bull is?
B-U-L-L?
Yeah.
I know it's an animal, but what does the term mean?
Well, in the world of sex, a bull, and this might raise the eyebrows of some of your listeners, but there's actually quite a few brothers who, they'll call them a black bull. That is when a guy has reached a point in his marriage or relationship where he does not feel like he can adequately satisfy his wife or girlfriend. So let's say there's this middle-aged white guy named Herbert, and
uh-huh.
his wife has made it known that she's been fantasizing about mm-hmm. black dick.
Right.
And she might start punking him and turn him into what's known as a cuckold. A cuckold is a man who basically has no problem being dominated by his female companion, as well as a bull, if the bull is introduced into a relationship. So let's say I'm being the bull, the black bull.
Mm-hmm.
Herbert might contact me and say, hey, Mr. Korea, my wife, she really wants some black dick, and I'm willing to pay you money. And I'm like, shut your punk ass up. How much money are you talking? Then he'll tell me. And then I say, yeah, man, I'm going to come over and fuck your wife in front of you. And I'll say, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I'll say, yes, sir. And, yeah. So that's what bulls do.
That's a cuckold, right?
The husband would be the cuckold.
Cuckold, right.
Yeah, you'll see it in different articles, or especially what's known as, I'm sure most of you know what the term BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole world of things, that's really big, the whole bull and cuckold. I first learned it in L.A. I had a buddy who was a male stripper, and one time me, him, and this other guy was actually a porno actor. We was all hooking up, and I was talking about how much money he made in porn. He said, I make good money. And then he started chuckling. He said, but, you know, we know where that side money. And they start kind of laughing like that inside joke. And I was like, what's up? And then he was like, oh, he don't know. And then that's when they broke it down to me. They said, man, you know, a lot of us porno stars, you know, we make a lot of side money in the role of the black bull. I said, black bull. And then they basically told me what I basically just told you. They described it. They said, yes, a lot of guys, man, they don't feel like they can satisfy their wives or girlfriends, and they have a real wimpy, submissive nature. So they'll pay a guy money to please and satisfy their wife or girlfriend. A lot of times they'll be in the room watching and jacking off. And, I've dominated whole, you know, yeah.
What did they call the women?
You said what?
What did they call the woman? You know, they want to pay the woman to screw the husband. What does the wife call the women?
I don't know. The woman
never.
Well, sometimes there's a term they'll call the woman the hot wife. I've seen guys use that term, but the woman doesn't necessarily have a particular title. But it's the two men involved. Well, yeah, it's the bull and the cuckold. You're not going to find too many black male cuckolds, although I'm sure there's a few across the country. But at the risk of generalizing white men, there's quite a few white male cuckolds.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few. Yeah.
And I have a question. In your lifestyle, have you had a lot of stalkers or just obsessed women who may have afterwards, after their experiences with you, want like a serious relationship and they couldn't get past it, things of that nature?
You just had to ask that question. Yes, I would actually go as far as to say understatement. And you know what's funny? And if Gail on the line, you know, I'm not taking a jab at her, but see, me and a couple of buddies were talking about this, and they both co-signed with me. The number one women who will usually become like stalkers and shit is the women who initially tried to give you the impression that they went down for XYZ. Like, for example, I might meet a woman who said, Alan, I'm not into threesomes. I don't do threesomes. I don't do that shit. Then, like, a month later, they say, okay, well, I'm willing to experiment. Let's try it. Then you have a threesome with them. Next thing you know, they addicted to the shit. They want to have a threesome every other day. You, like, slow down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it's like you get that call. Oh, I bet you having a threesome with that bitch and that bitch. How come I ain't included? Like, baby, when I first met you, you said you weren't even into threesomes and shit. Now you fucking calling me every day, twice a day.
Good.
And, yeah, it's just, I mean, I think that happens with any relation, not necessarily for just a guy who does what I do. I mean, you just have certain women who, you know, and again, you know, to defend myself, no woman can ever say she's stalking me because I misled or whatever, because I'm straight up about everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reputation I have hardcore among the people I deal with. I don't, mm-hmm. I don't play no games. I don't, for example, make a woman think I want something that's more long-term than what I wanted or more emotionally profound than what I wanted or more monogamous than what I wanted. I tell women from the get-go, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I want. And basically, either you down or you're not down. And but, yeah, you know, some women, they get attached. What I think what's been the most interesting in the realm of stalkers is I can see when you really fuck a woman real good and she starts stalking you. But I've had phone sex stalkers. That's always tripped me out. Like,
wow.
Women will become addicted to just me having phone sex with them.
I can see that.
Yeah. I've had quite a few of those.
Blind man, because this. But,
right.
Alan, we got Gail back here, and I guess you want to comment on that thing about she said, they said if you want a threesome, they ain't into it, but they call you up later. Because she got her hand up. So I'm going to let Gail go ahead and ask her question, Alan. Go ahead, Gail.
All right, darling. I'm not. That would never happen either. But I have.
Gail, like,
I have,
Alan,
listen,
I promise
listen,
I won't
darling.
Stalk you. I promise.
I'll be a stalker, but not for a threesome. I would be a stalker if, you know, if the dick was real good. And for phone sex, because I'm going to tell you guys on the truth, I was stalking this guy. One night, he had a wrong number. And somehow or another, we ended up having phone sex. And I'm telling you, it was so, I couldn't believe it that this guy had did and said the things he did and said to me that night over the phone. And, you know, I had call ID, so I called him. And, you know, he would never answer the phone. So I got really upset. So then, you know, I laid off and everything.
Shit.
So then I called him again, and he answered the phone. And I said to him, I said, so what's up? He said, nothing. So I said, you know, I finally got him to, you know, do it again. So we got back on track and was, you know, having this phone sex thing because it was just, I couldn't believe that how he had did it. And it was almost as if we were together, you know. And I did stalk him. I'm not going to lie. But
Okay, wait, pause right there, Gail. Pause right there. Man, just a few minutes ago, you said you didn't want to put out in public that you was going to play with that pussy for me tonight and make yourself come when I'm talking dirty to you. But now you're willing to make public that you stalked
that
the motherfucker.
That I stalked the guy that I
that
had
is confusing
with.
To me.
No, 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 it's not
you
want to
tell the whole
Alan.
Nation, yeah, I stalked the motherfucker. I was calling him multiple times. But, ooh, no, Alan, I don't want to tell you that you're going to make me come and then I'm going to be playing my pussy like crazy. But I want to tell everybody in France and New Zealand that, yeah,
in
I stalked the motherfucker.
In case there's some prospects out there. Okay.
Right, right.
But, no, there are things that I don't mind expressing, you know, but you know, all that other stuff is sort of like personal, you know. So, you know, because I will submit, you know, to a degree, but I'm not going to be, you know. And I also heard you speaking about this mother and daughter couple calling you daddy and all that kind of stuff.
I won't call mother and daughter couple, no.
I mean mother and daughter, mother and daughter. They are they your sex slaves or what's up with that? Because you know they calling you daddy and doing what you tell them to do, and what's up with that?
They're my students, clients.
Yeah, that's how you talk.
Your students.
Yeah.
Well, what is it that you teach these women?
Well, I'll give you an address and you can just look at the page.
Okay.
But other than the normal stuff I do, which is, you know, book author, professional dating coach, public speaker, kind of a discreet gig I have is I am just like you have women who are dominatrix.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, I'm male. I'm what's called a top
a
or
master.
Dom. Yeah, just a master. Yeah, master would be a simple term. And what I do is I work with sometimes I work with couples, like a married couple or a couple that's just dating each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it just be an individual woman. And in a handful of cases, I've worked with, like this, I've worked with mothers and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, and yeah, they pay me for it. And
do you have
like,
sex with your client?
A common female client would be a woman who's had her boyfriend, husband, or an ex-boyfriend or ex-husband say that she was too much of a bitch or too much of a prude.
Mm.
And I'll work with her. I mean, now some women, they ain't bothered by that. They're like, yeah, I'm a bitch and I'm going to stay a bitch. Or I'm a prude.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have sex with your clients when they come to you and tell you, my husband, he doesn't sex me enough and he doesn't do this, he does? Do you have sex with them or do you give them advice or how does that work?
Most of the time, actually, no. The extent I would go is I'll have phone sex. But physical sex, you know, I try to keep the business relationships business, but there's been, yeah, inevitably some women, you just get them trained so much that they're like, you know, sir, you got to fuck me. Please fuck me, master. You know, please, I'm begging you. And, yeah, but I would say more often than not, I resist the temptation. But, yeah, it's funny when it's like, say, a husband and a wife, because I'll bring out sides in the woman that the husband has never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I had this white couple, you know, from Texas, and I was working with them all through the phone, and, you know, this husband, all he had seen is his wife be this major bitch.
Mm-hmm.
But when I would have on the phone, you know, she would be like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, my most dominant sir. And he was kind of like, damn, she ain't never called me sir. I was like, because you a punk.
Mm. Well, let me ask you a question. Let me break in here real quick. I know how you got started into this. And can I say safely that your confidence level is inspired by the fact that maybe you have more than average amount of penis? Because a lot of times, you know, for instance, a female, when we know we got a good punani or we stack the right way, we are more confident because we know we got something that people like or we got a tight one. You know, now a guy has to be comfortable with the fact that they got more than 5 inches or 6 inches. So in that way, some people can say it's a little arrogance because they know they can have the tool, and now you know what to do with that tool. Is that a true statement in your case as well, other than you just being a dating coach, that it's also inspired by the fact that you're well endowed, maybe?
I'm going to borrow a line from the famous actor George Hamilton when he was being interviewed and they asked him a similar question. And he said, "Modesty prevents me from stating the obvious."
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Oh, ladies, you know what that means? That's an affirmative yes.
Now, authoress, I'm actually disappointed in you, though. We've been being frank on this whole show, and you're going to say poo nanny instead of pussy? What's up with that? Poo nanny is so PG-13. Just say, I know I got some good pussy. You ain't got to say poo nanny and kitten and muffin and all them other cute little PG terms.
Well, I feel that these other ladies are saying the graphic term a whole lot, you know, and I'm just, you know, I'm trying to, you know, be mindful
now, authors,
that. Yes.
You got it on record, though, that once I talk to Gail, I'm going to turn her out on the phone. You know, she probably going to start stalking me. So this is going to be the audio record where she basically said, "Alan, I'm going to be stalking your ass. I know you're going to get my pussy real wet." Have
hey,
me finger fucking myself like crazy.
Alan, I have a user on the chat who's asking a question. It's speak on that note. It's actually a person named Keisha. And she said, "Does size really matter if you know how to hit it right?"
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, well, you know, I tell a lot of guys, because a lot of my male clients I work with, I'd say at least, I don't know, one-fourth to one-third of them, that's like their major issue or major insecurity. They'll say, you know, "Alan, I'm insecure about either the length of my dick or the width of my dick or both." And I'm like, man, if you know how to fuck, It ain't going to be a problem. Because I'll confess, I had one situation back when I was in my late 20s. There was this woman who was living with this guy, and she was cheating on him to mess around with me. So my ego had led me to believe that since she was cheating, that I must have been packing more of a wallop than him. And so, like our third or fourth time fucking, she actually ended up saying, she said, "No, actually, even though, Alan, you're very sizable, my living partner, he's actually at least a wee bit more sizable than you." And I said, "Really?" But she said, "He can't fuck worth a shit."
And it makes a difference. It really does.
Because
I have been exposed to a guy that, you know, has been too large. And so because it was too large, he couldn't get women because it all couldn't go in. And people would stop him, so I don't know what be his skills or not. But I know he wasn't going to tear me up, you know. So sometimes.
Well, you bring up a good point.
Can I touch on that?
That is a valid point. A lot of guys think, you know, it's always the bigger the better. But really, if you're on either extreme, you're going to, if you're exceptionally small, you're going to have challenges. But on the flip side, if you accept, because I know a couple of guys that did have, they were, a lot of women considered them to be too big, and they didn't get no pussy because of it. What's that?
Can I touch on that for a minute? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the size thing. Now, for men that are sizable, we don't even have to go to the extreme of too big, but generally it's for those who are too big, and men who are up to some size have a tendency to believe that because they have a big dick that they're the bomb in bed. Let me just shoot some bullet holes in that myth.
Right.
Because you have a big dick does not mean you know what to do with it. You can have a big floppy donkey dick, and that doesn't mean that you're going to please somebody, but because women run from you because of the size, you think that you know what you're doing. Then when you run up on somebody like me, you're like, "Oh, yeah, I killed that." And I'm telling you, no, we're never going to do this again because that shit was ridiculous.
Right.
Because it don't feel good.
It's just...
So, size you. Just because you have a big dick or a deep pussy does not mean that you are capable of satisfying someone to the height of their levels. That just means that you have some good shit, but you still need to know how to use it. You need to know how to control what you're doing. You need to learn how to contract that pussy. You need to learn how to swivel that dick. It's not just an in-and-out thing. You're not... Man, that pisses me off something terrible. That gets to my goat. That is one of my biggest pet peeves.
Pet peeves.
I don't care how big you are. If you can't, if you don't know what you're doing, ask me. I will show you. If you don't know what you're doing, allow me. I will show you. If you don't know what you're doing, come to me. I will teach you. But hot damn, you are not good just because you have a big dick. You know how many big dick men I have had to teach a thing or seven?
A thing or seven.
A thing or two, a thing or seven.
Hey, author says,
a thing or seven.
Author says, lucky your Facebook friend, because I got to put a face with this voice. She is so fucking fast. Oh, shit. Let me.
I tell you what, you send me a friend request and I will send you a picture because my picture is not on my page for a reason.
What's your Facebook name?
Lucky, L-U-C-K-E-Y, Sensualis, S-E-N-S-U-A-L-I-S. There's only one of me.
Okay.
And you will see a picture of some badass heels that are silver and blue, and they're not my feet, but they are my shoes.
Okay. Let me throw this out there. Okay, now, we were just talking about size. Now, you know, people say what they want to say. I want to stay tight, you know, so I can make a small man feel big, okay, because I'm built tight, and, you know, I'm not apologizing for that. You know, now, let me say this. Lucky was talking about muscle contractions of the vagina, okay, and she could handle any man. Is that possible that by dealing with a lot of large men, you have been stretched out? Because that's my biggest fear.
I'm still extremely tight.
I worry about that because I don't want to lose that tightness because a lot of people, they just like...
Well, there are things that you can do to maintain your tightness on top of, you know, it depends on, like, for me, I've been very blessed. I've been blessed with a super magnificent superhero kind of elasticity, so I've been very blessed. But there are things that you can do that the average woman can do to maintain that elasticity. You know, as long as you're not, like... not having sex with Long John Dong every day for 365 days, then, you know, you're going to be a little loose at that point. But, but there are things you can do to keep it tight.
That can tighten you up, yeah. But I'm just dumbfounded. I'm just going to ask Solanda a question.
Okay. So, Alan, do you expand your services outside your, say, living area? Like, I know you go and do, say, lectures and things, but, like, say if somebody needed a dating coach in, I'm not sure where you're from, but, like, say in Georgia or something, would you travel or would you do maybe, like, a Skype or something with that couple that needed maybe, like, couple therapy or single person who needed a dating coach?
Sure. Yeah, that's what I do with most of my coaching and consultations are handled either telephone, Skype video, or a blend of the two. And then there's a small percentage that I do, you know, where, I mean, honestly, the people, they pay for me. So if somebody pays for me to travel anywhere, I'll travel anywhere, you know. Like, I have males that offer me from a variety of different countries to come and work with them, and I've had clients that flew in from other countries here in the U.S. I'm actually in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
And but, yeah, I work both ways. I work with people, you know, face-to-face, and I work with people, you know, like I said, a combination of telephone and Skype. And, you know, and but... I tell them they got to be ready for the real because, you know, one thing I don't do, and I see too many other people who call themselves in the dating industry do, is that fluffy bullshit. I can't do that fluff shit, you know.
Right.
That don't help nobody. That's what people don't realize. That fluff shit And I don't want to pick on your gender, but, you know, I can tell the women on this phone line, y'all keep shit real. So I know y'all always want the real. But there's a lot of women out here that they can't handle real. They want that delusional fantasy world fluff shit.
Right.
And I end up telling them that, you know, that ain't going to help you in the long run.
That's true.
That's what role play is for.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
If I want a fantasy, I'm going to dress up for it. <You know>?
Right.
Well, y'all, we got to take a
I have a question.
Quick.
Oh, okay.
And can we hold that? We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
I don't mind making you happy. I don't mind making your day feel so good to give. But I never seem to get my way. I'm tired of waking up with nobody laying next to me. I'm tired of being alone and everybody else is lovey-dovey. I'm so tired of all of y'all being
happy for me.
I can only find a love I sing about. Oh, when I sang my song. Oh, yeah. See, I know what I want. Something real, something I could feel. And I know it don't come me. My ups and downs, and when they're feeling bad, I can be the one to make a smile, make a realize that I'm the special guy. I sing about, oh, if I could only find a love. I'm searching here and everywhere. I pray, send her to me.
Send her to me.
See, I ain't been perfect. In fact, I've been dead wrong. But it's time for me to live out the love that I'm thinking about. I want the first dance to be my song, and I wanna make love to my song, wanna have babies to my song, I wanna cry when I'm singing my song, I wanna say.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, this is Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. Just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been here. Yeah. Oh, I forgot, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, all day.
No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house?
Hey, who are you, man?
Who are you?
Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to a hot and riveting conversation with my special guest, Alan Roger Terry, and it's Rated X. I've already said that, and I haven't even really played too many of my commercials promoting myself because this conversation got the phone lines lit up. And I am so proud that he is sharing his story, you know, and I'm trying to maintain my composure. But welcome back, Alan, and welcome back, ladies, that's on the line with me from Gail, Lucky, Shalanda, and your other ladies hiding out there don't want to raise your hand, but I see you. I see you there. You know, welcome back, and Alan, we only got like, maybe about 15 minutes left, but before I get into many questions, I want you to first tell everybody how to get a hold of your books, how to reach you, what it costs for them to have you fly in, if they want some private lessons or whatever, and then we go into the questions. So give us people a chance to write down this pertinent information before we stop streaming.
Well, you can go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and find my books. You just do a search for Alan, A-L-A-N, Roger, the middle name, R-O-G-E-R, and then last name is C-U-R-R-I-E. My main site is www.modeone, that's modeone.net. For the services I was just speaking of not too long ago, you would go to modeone.net/training. And then that would be it, just mo1.net/training, and I outline what I help couples with, women individually with, and I have two shows I do, actually, on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm on hiatus right now. I usually go on hiatus from mid-July to about mid to late September. But when I'm active, my main show is called Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And that is blogtalkradio.com/mode1. And then I do a more risque adults-only show that's listened to by a lot of women. I get so much feedback on it. It's called The Erotic Conversationalist. And if you want to listen to episodes of that particular show, you can go to mo1.net/podcast, P-O-D-C-A-S-T-S, podcast plural, and then it'll bring up the episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist, and Yeah. And and if you want to write me about, you know, I have some rates on the pages, but if you want to write me and ask me about certain, you know, the financial end of things, you can just write me at Erotic Brother. And that's the word erotic plus BRUTHA at mode1.net. Again, that's Erotic Brother as one word at mode1.net.
All right, now, so ladies, you heard that. You know, the brother, he will come to see you personally. He say he don't see with everybody, but you never know. You might have the right conversation that break him down, because he got all these women all amped up and everything. Maybe one of these women can break him down and have him call them mommy. You know what I'm saying? Hey, mommy.
You're funny.
I do have one quick question, if it's okay.
Go ahead.
Alan, do you have an age limit? Like, I do sex counseling for teens, and I do relationship counseling and sex counseling for adults. But do you have an age limit on the people that you help?
Well, my age minimum is 18.
Okay.
As far as the age maximum, nah, I've never established an age maximum, no.
Okay. Yeah, because old folks hit it too.
Oh, sure. All right. Yeah. Shoot. You know, they had a report come out a couple of years ago about all these senior citizens was in these nursing homes fucking.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
You ain't never too old to fuck.
My uncle was in a nursing home, and he was having sex with two different women, and one of them stole his teeth because the women got to fighting over it. And they were running around trying to find his teeth to figure out what happened to his false teeth. And when they found him, the woman was scooting down the hallway with him in her mouth so nobody would find him.
Wow.
That's serious. All folks are serious.
That's something. Shalonda, do you have a question, darling?
No, not really a question. I just love the way he talks. He makes me just want to call
too,
to hear
all
his voice.
You know, it's all like he's breathing like, oh, yeah, well, tell me, Gail. Tell me what you want me to do to you.
Right. I'm with Gail,
no,
though. Some things
I don't
you
do
want to have
a person. Emphatically, I ain't going to do no threesome. You can't make me do nothing. Gail, go ahead. Just say what you were saying, man. Gail, she was holding her own after all that down low breathing and moaning and groaning.
No. No, that's what can persuade me to have a threesome, darling. Nothing. And I'm telling you, your voice is very, very seductive, but, you know, it ends there, because that's just me, you know, that's me. Let me be.
Let him out one-on-one up close with you. He might change that.
No. No, he can't change that. You know, plus number one, just like you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and I'm for that. I'm just not going to do that.
So Gail say, Alan, I can't wait to play my pussy for you.
Say it, Gail, say it.
Whatever.
I'm definitely going to try to check out the shows. I'm definitely going to have to check out some shows. Keep me on my toes. But no, that's right.
You know you got a blessing, Alan, right? You know you got a blessing.
What was that? I didn't hear that.
I said, you know you got a blessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to bless
you. Yeah,
she
sounds like a little kitty cat. No!
No, I ain't got time for that.
And lucky you
well,
got a
maybe
friend
you can have a phone
sex
threesome with him.
Huh?
Oh,
maybe
I said, lucky you got a Facebook friend request waiting for you. Yeah,
mind,
speaking of that, whoever brought up the threesome, I've had, I'd say actually probably about one-third of my phone sex in my life has been phone sex threesomes.
Oh, on the phone?
Matter of fact, this is
going to
blow your mind. Do you know at least
once?
That's
different
had,
on the phone.
Not
you know, but
on
physically,
the,
no.
Wait, who's talking now?
This is
hell, this is
Alan.
Okay, but yeah, I was going to say, at least once, I actually had not one, not two, not three, four women on the phone at the same time playing with their pussies.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty hot.
Four women on the phone at the same damn time.
Yes. Yeah.
That sounds pretty
erotic. So you're a conference freak, Alan. You're a conference freak.
I guess that's a new term. Shoot, I'm going to have to use that. A conference
right.
call freak.
Yeah, cool. Well, you're going to have to pay me for that term, babe. Boo-boo, you're going to have to pay me for that.
You know, it amazes me how Alan said that he has some people call him sir or daddy. That he didn't know that Miss Lucky, when she doing her moaning and groaning, she would say, "Oh, daddy," but I can't do it the way she do it. But so, you know, y'all in sync already.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. Because, you know, when you hit a man with the word daddy and you let him know that he thinks he's in charge, the responses that you get from his body, not just his body, but the responses that you get from his everything, his mind, his body, his spirit, and his soul, are so intense they would make your mama cry.
Ooh,
when you
love.
Do it right.
But see, here's what a lot of women don't get, I actually work with a lot of women on this issue, is that you have a lot of women, and I would even more specifically say a lot of black women have an aversion to the idea of being submissive to a man because they think that is going to make them look like a doormat, or that's going to put them in a position to be taken advantage of. But the reality is, when you show men your submissive side, guys will gravitate towards you in much more frequency. I mean, I can name women who are really like kind of these I'm an independent woman types. And yeah, they'd like to stick out their chest and say they was an independent woman, but the problem was they didn't have no men gravitating towards them. And so I broke them down and made them realize that a highly feminine, submissive nature is like a magnet for men. And sure enough, they were like, "Daddy, you were so right. Now I got men damn near beating down my door trying to hook up with me." And even when a woman is being submissive, she can always set boundaries. I mean,
indeed,
and if a
indeed.
Man was to violate your boundaries, then you know that's a man you would want to stop fucking around with. So it ain't about being a doormat. You can always establish, like in a lot of dominant submissive relationships, there's what's known as a safe word.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you violate. So if I'm having a dominant submissive relationship and say a woman says strawberries, that might mean in our relationship that, okay, daddy, you know, I love you being dominant, but in this case you crossing a line, a boundary. And then I would step back and, you know, we talk about it and, you know, whatever. So, but matter of fact, do you know a study came out just, I'm going to say within the last year, that they found that dominant submissive relationships lasted longer than conventional relationships. They had less stress and arguments involved than regular conventional relationships, and they had a higher degree of romantic and sexual passion than basic conventional relationships.
Wow.
And I actually think that's true, because like in my when I compare my first husband, our relationship compared to my fiance now, I am more subservient to my fiance now than I ever was to my first husband. And in being subservient, I actually ruled the house because he allowed me to make the decisions. Because he knows that at the end of the day, I do take care of him, and I do what he asked me to do. You know,
and you don't emasculate him,
right? And I don't.
That's
emasculate
a big problem
him.
That women run
he,
into,
right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, cause he
we
went,
have a tendency
went through,
to emasculate them,
right? Because he went through a long period of being unemployed when he got laid off, and I never took it away from him that I was the moneymaker. You know, I never talked down to him. He still made the financial decisions in the household. And and we made it through that point in our relationship because I never took it away from him. That I'm, you know, there's a whole lot of women, just like you said, a whole lot of black women, they'll be like, well, I foot the bill, I pay the bills, and I pay the cost to be the boss, and, you know, but it's not even about that. It's basically respecting his position in the family. You know, there's always a king and a queen, and as long as you take care of the king, he'll always treat you like his queen.
There you go.
Amen.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, lucky I get anything I want.
I know, but you spoiled anyway.
I'm spoiled anyway.
Can I just touch on the subservient relationship between a man and a woman? All women, when you get down to the nitty gritty of it, want to feel like they're protected. When you submit yourself to a man and you show him that submission and you're subservient in your relationship with him, especially sexually. To a point, because, you know, sometimes you got to take control yourself, too, you know. But when you're submissive to him, that creates this confidence in him that boosts him inside in a way that it allows him to show you all of his power. And when a man feels powerful, he feels like the protector, and that's what he's going to give you back. But women are so busy, I'm the boss, I'm the man, I wear the pants, I might as well be the man. Okay, well, then you need to go get a woman and be the man to her.
There you
because
go.
That's not what
there
you need
go.
To be in a relationship.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that I don't prefer short men, because I need to feel like I'm protected. How are you going to protect me when we're the same thing?
Yeah, right.
You know, I need to feel like I'm reaching up to you. When you reach down to hug me, you need to be able to reach down like you're scooping me up like I'm your queen, and I am protected.
Not getting smothered by my boobs, huh?
Oh my goodness!
So yeah, for everybody,
all women have that deep desire to feel protected, and
lucky. Now,
and
if,
half the time
Prince
they'll say, "But
listening to this show, he's feeling insulted by you because he's like, shit, I'm Mr. Purple Badness, and she said I can't protect her and shit."
I mean,
let me tell you something. I don't break my rule often. You know, I will accept what God sends me, no matter what he is. When God sends me the right man, then I'll accept that. And he'll be my husband, and I don't care if he's tall or short. However, as my personal preference right now, until that happens and God sends a short one, which I'm, you know, I pray that he doesn't, but if that's what he wants, that's what I'll take, you know. But my preference is, I broke that preference twice. The first one thought that his thing was, well, I'm the man, so he thought it was a good idea to put his hands on me until I showed him I could shoot.
Right.
And then he stopped. And we fought. I mean, you're not putting your hands on me. But
right.
The reason that he went to put his hands on me was for that issue of control and power, because he needed to feel like he was the big boy. But he didn't have to do that. All he had to do was allow me to submit to him, and we wouldn't have had that issue, and I wouldn't have had to kick his ass. It just is what it is.
Yeah,
the
and I want to make that point, authors, to your male listeners, whether they listen live or the podcast, is that when you talk about a dominant, submissive relationship, as a man, you never want to go into the territory of what I call forced dominance, because that takes away the erotic magic. Because when you got to do things like put your hands on a woman and physically abuse a woman, you're trying to basically force a woman to be submissive to you, and that ain't going to benefit either you or your partner. A woman, you got to get a woman to a point where she wants to submit to you. She's anxious to submit to you. And she loves submitting to you. It ain't got nothing to do with being physically abusive, emotionally abusive, you know, or verbally abusive, you know, and you'll just have a great relationship.
Exactly. I agree with
that.
A woman likes to feel, you know, like the guy knows what he's doing, like he's taking some kind of control, even though she might direct him in different areas of what she likes for him to stay there, because I really hate when a guy is in a spot and is really affected and a bad thing, and then he do something different. Stupid. I mean, read the body language. You know I'm right there. Why would you switch up?
Yeah.
But you know something? I have to say, I couldn't believe how quickly 2 hours have left.
I know.
Because of our dynamic guest, Alan, I so appreciate you spending that time here with me. And if you would like, if Gail would me give you her number when I hang up, you know, that's fine too, because, you know, I'm sure you can melt that little ice cube she say that can't be penetrated, but, you know, that's her story. She's sticking to it, you know. But I so enjoyed you, and I'm going to give all of my ladies that's on here tonight opportunity to give their shout-out. I'll let Alan be the man. Let him be the last one who give his little comments. And we're going to start with our guests, and we're going to start from the bottom up. We're going to start with Gail. Gail, is there anything you'd like to say, darling?
Yes, this was a very enjoyable show, Alan. I do appreciate your coming on tonight, and you just might get my panties wet, but we will talk about that at another time, darling. Okay. And I just want everybody to know that I do appreciate Terry's show. And I have a show myself that airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. over there on Delicious Talk Radio, the segment called Bringing Sexy Back. It's every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. And also, I just did a revision on my latest book, Back to Zero. You can go to my website, jjpublishing.com, and order your copies or copies of that. That's J-A-Y. JAYPublishing.com. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I am everywhere. And if you really want to know anything about me, just Google Gail Delicious Johnson. Thank you, darling.
All right, Lucky, darling.
Well, I would have to say it is extremely wonderful to meet my male doppelganger.
All right, now, hey. The Black Bull.
That's right. My, Black Bull, it's been wonderful talking with you, and I will answer your friend request as soon as we're off the line here. And you have a lot of good information to give and a lot of good things to teach, I believe, and I'm grateful for that because there's a whole lot of women who are not like me who don't have anybody to show them or their partners how to engage properly. So I'm very grateful about that. I've had a lot of fun talking to you, and I'm still waiting on you to moan, though.
I know that's right. Now, the voyeur, Shalonda.
I heard you. Alan, I do like to thank you for coming on our show tonight. I appreciate the conversation with you, the adult conversation, actually. And I will definitely be Facebooking you to check you out as a friend. And hopefully we'll be able to conversate more.
Okay.
Yes, and I also want to thank Tony that had called in earlier and made his comments. And I want to say again, Alan, you know, I got you, darling. We're friends. We're going to stay friends. And but don't call me up telling me to touch myself, okay? Let's keep it business, okay? I know you
do. That's what I do. You're asking me not to be
When I think
mean.
About you, I touch myself, ooh.
Yeah,
but
I'll
tell you what, darling, you
song.
Do put a smile on my
it
lips.
It is.
And you make me happy just talking to you, and that's a pleasure that you have done. You know, and I'm going to give you this opportunity to give any shout-outs you would like to give. And, you know, and then we're going to call it a wrap on Unmasked with Office Charlie Law and Shalonda. So we're going to let Alan say what he got to say, and we out of here.
Well, I want to just shout out to, I know a few of my clients, students are listening, you know. Much love and respect to you. And I just want to thank this panel of women. It's always a true pleasure to talk to people, and particularly women who are very real, very authentic. They own their personality, and I can tell every woman who I've conversed with tonight is in that category. No pretenses, no airs. No facade. She just totally uninhibited and real, and I love that. And I want to thank Authoress for inviting me to be a guest. This has been a very enjoyable experience. To all your listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen on a Friday, because, you know, you can be doing anything on a Friday. And whoever might be listening to this, the archive version, I appreciate you listening. And again, just my site is modeone.net, M-O-D-E-O-N-E.net. Questions, comments, eroticbrother@modeone.net. And I just wish all you ladies continued success in your respective endeavors. And just thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, darling. And don't forget, everybody, go to my website at www.terrylyle.com, TerryLyle.com. I got 9 books for you to peruse your eyeballs through. I got a perfume and lotion line, you know, and I'm just trying to get to the next step. And I sure appreciate you helping me get there. And on that note, bye.
Bye-bye. Good night. Everybody have a good weekend.
Alan, why don't you sing us out of here?
The world left me cold and gray. I had almost reached heaven just to feel it slip away. But life too short to waste away, being scared to take chances, or so I heard wise men say. Just to be loved by you. Taste, touch, hear, see. Feel me now, girl. And you'll know I'm so ready to exchange lifelong vows. Yes, I am. Some be love.